So you preparing for this major winter event that's supposed to put the Northeast into the ice age?
I'm excited about it.
Yeah?
I'm excited about it. I mean, I don't think if it's an ice age, it's not going to wipe us out like the dinosaurs. We're smarter than dinosaurs, John.
Okay, I'm like biting my tongue from laughing. That might have been the funniest and shortest cold open ever.
That's because of the ice age. We're all going to be like this from now on. All cold opens will be this cold.
Oh, it's global warming. Global warming is global colding.
Yeah, let's get Al Gore over here and warm things up a little bit. Why doesn't he fly around in his private jet a little bit and tell us more about how the environment needs our help?
Is it really kind of prepping you for this major freezing event? We're talking like 40 inches of snow in the Great Lakes area.
Oh yeah, but you know, first of all, they call it the Great Lakes, but they're really not that great.
Have you been?
I'm just saying, I have been. It's like it's a lake. These are big lakes.
It's big water. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you go in thinking like, wow, these are going to be great lakes, like I'm expecting like that they're going to be shooting hamburgers out at you and stuff, and like there's going to be dancing dolphins, you know, all the good things that you would expect from something called great. But they're just lake. It's just a big body of water that wind comes in off of and cuts through 8 layers of clothing that you have on and freezes you at the core of your body.
So Lake Superior is a little too much?
You want to get over yourself a little bit? Of course, that's just what all the other lakes called him.
All right. It's full of himself.
It's really just Lake Dave, but Dave has a very high opinion of himself, so it's like, yeah, get a load of Lake Superior over here.
That is just good. I like the Great Lakes being not so great. The not so great lakes. The okay lakes.
They're very good.
They're very good,
you know?
Lakes.
But it's like the Hall of Fame, you know? Like, you have to have a standard.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have, like, it can't just be everyone gets in.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Otherwise, Harold Baines gets into the Hall of Fame. You get a nightmare situation like that.
So, like Lake Michigan is the Harold Baines of the
That's all I'm saying.
Great Lakes, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, very good, but just not great.
So this is episode 91 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the choices for the dedication for this episode for number 91. We've got Hideo Nomo, who came back and had his final season after a couple years off with the Royals and had a ERA over 15 during that final season. We have Tim Spoonybarger with the Florida Marlins, and then Alfredo Aceves was probably the one who deserves it because he wore number 91 for 7 different seasons.
Oh, wow. Good for him. But we're going to go with Spoonybarger.
Spoonybarger is just a great thing to say. It's a great name.
Yeah. I just want to be able to say Spoonybarger a few more times, so let's say this is the Spoonybarger episode.
You would think with the last name like Spoonybarger, you'd have like a multiple-syllable name, you know, like Nathaniel, or even if it's Timothy Spoonybarger. Spoonybarger sounds a little...
You know what it is? It's a little Monty Python, right? Isn't it the enchanter, the enchanter they come across that goes, there are some who call me Tim.
Tim.
And they're like, oh, Tim the Enchanter.
Yeah.
He's the one who's like, death awaits with big, nasty, pointy teeth.
Right. Right. And the holy hand grenade.
The holy hand grenade of Antioch, John. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. It's all good stuff. One of my
favorite movies. He held aloft the holy hand grenade of Antioch. Counteth to 3. Do not counteth to 4. 5 is right out.
Right.
I'll do this all day, man. You want to do... You know who I actually did Holy Grail quotes back and forth with? This will blow your mind. Tom freaking Cruise.
Really?
He knows, I will say, 75% of the quotes from Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
That's amazing.
75. I was just at some random party, and he was sitting across from me. And I am very, like, I don't care who knows who or whatever. I don't know about boundaries. I don't care about anything. And I started doing some Monty Python stuff, and he chimed in.
Wow. I got better.
I burst my nipples at you, all that stuff.
She turned me into a newt.
Yeah, I got better. He did the. I remember Tom Cruise came in with the farcical aquatic ceremony.
Oh, that's one of the best. Like, that's hard.
That's a tough pull, man.
Yeah, that is.
Woo.
Good.
He goes all in. He does his own stunts.
Just because some watery tart threw a sword at you. That's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Do you want to do some headlines?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some baseball. Hey, first thing, though, I want to say, despite this opening that we've done here, if you listeners want to rate or review us on iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Our web host the webmaster guy, tells us that most of our listeners now actually just listen on the site. Ooh. On the Foul Territory site. So thank you for listening. I'm glad you find this moderately amusing or informative or all of the above. But yeah, if you want to pop over to iTunes and just give us I say 5-star, but if you want to just give us 4, we'd be happy with that as well.
Because I got to tell you this opening was a 5-star opening.
Oh, whoa.
Absolutely.
But other people might not think that. And then if you say 5, then they're going to like, well, it's not a 5. It's not great. It's not like a Great Lakes.
Well, it's a 5 to us.
But like then there's people, you know, you think Lake Superior is going to give us a 5-star review? No. Superior is going to go in and be like, well, I guess it was all right. 4 stars.
Right. Well, after the trashing Lake Superior, we'll probably get a 1-star.
But the thing is, you have to understand as a watcher or a watcher of podcasts, and by that I'm being completely insane, but maybe you're watching your iPhone or smart or your computer as you're hearing this, so you're technically watching something. I mean, you don't have your eyes closed unless you're some weirdo kink pervert guy, which, hey, if you are, great for you. That's awesome. World needs that stuff. But if you're listening to a podcast, 3 stars is actually considered a bad review. I just want you to know that when you go in there, like that means like I didn't like it enough to give it 4 stars like all the other wackos.
Enough.
Like you basically like 5 stars, like 5-star is like I'm a huge mega fan. 4-star means you thought it was good. And then 3-star means like, yeah, you probably should listen to something else. 2 means we're going to like we should be arrested. And 1-star is like, you know, the First Amendment shouldn't necessarily apply.
Boy. Well, we have a lot to live up to then to keep. But I think if someone chortled or kind of guffawed during that opening, they should definitely go and give us a 4 or 5, you know, no lower.
Yes, that's right. If there's any sort of chortling or snickering even.
Snickers would be good.
I'll even take a LOL where there actually isn't, it is not out loud.
Now, isn't that strange too that, have you ever done that? Like, oh, I was LOLing or LOL and you really didn't.
I've never said that I laughed out loud when I did not laugh out loud, but I have used LOL sort of ironically, like LOL, these nuts or whatever, you know, whatever the kids are saying these days. Right. On fleek, these nuts, LOL.
Wow. So this is the now turned into the social norms podcast.
We are deep into foul territory. This is like Oakland Coliseum foul territory, like the biggest foul territory you can get.
It is foul territory for sure. So let's talk a little bit about the non-signing of Manny Machado. I say Machado. Machado, yeah. And Bryce Harper in the non-trade of JT Realmuto, just to say that we've got those out of the way.
Okay.
So they still haven't signed. Nothing has happened. Still haven't signed. We're still waiting. But
I heard someone suggest something. Can I just jump in here? You said Realmuto. Before we get into some of this other stuff, I heard someone suggest that the Rockies trade for Realmuto. And I don't know if I can think of a better idea than this. The Rockies have so many infield prospects, like too many. Like they have 2 very good first base prospects. They have Garrett Hampson and Brendan Rodgers, Ryan McMahon. They got all these guys, and they got outfield. They have so many hitting prospects that are actually good hitters outside of the. They haven't been bumped up by Coors Field yet, though. Some of them get a little bump up at Albuquerque, whatever. These are like good players. You could trade like 3 of them for Realmuto, so you're not getting necessarily like a first round, you know, top guy. You're not getting necessarily like the Chris Sale return. But three, I like,
it would be a decent
three top
return,
100
sure.
return for Realmuto would be great for the Marlins, great for the Rockies. They have a, they've long had trouble with catching. Anyway, back to what you were saying.
I don't even remember what I was saying. Oh,
Manny
Machado.
You were saying Manny Machado and,
Machado.
And Bruce Harper.
Yeah, were, the Moocher in Harperino. No, still no movement on those. But there was a lot of going back and forth regarding Machado with the White Sox. And they're like Buster Olney and somebody else.
Credible
said,
sources.
Oh, it's, yeah, credible sources said it's only going to be $175 million for 7 years.
Right.
And Manny's agent went apeshit.
Right.
And sent a retraction or a statement out that it's irresponsible reporting and this is ridiculous. It's hurting, you know, the opportunity for players to get maximum value, which was, you know, I think it's
so true, in other words,
to a certain extent.
The statement were true, was true.
Unless it's actually.
Yeah, I think so. In other words, what you're saying, it was reckless, but not false.
Yes. Well, I don't know if the number value is true. If it is, then
true,
that's
John.
Just him playing the game.
If the agent's losing his mind like that, it's true. Look, the White Sox. Look, $25 million for 7 years. That's like a first offer. Someone floated that out there. It's like, hey, this was our offer. It doesn't say like our only offer. I think Machado should get $30 million. I think the White Sox should go $30 million 8 years. Why not? I think the Phillies should do $30 million 8 years. Like, let's get this guy on a team, for crying out loud.
And I'll tell you what, though, is if that number, the 175 number, is true, Brian Cashman's like, really? I guess we're interested again.
Are they, though? Because
no, I said they. If that number is true, would they be like, well, if it's that low, we might as well kind of reconsider? Because it seems like they've moved on.
It does seem like that. Well, they moved on and they got DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, they're stacking up, though. The Yankees have really, really added, like 8 players to their roster?
Yeah, it's really strange. You know what they're doing? Like, it's a little bit like, you ever play a video game baseball that had, like, multiple seasons, like franchise?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. Like, you just go in the offseason, you just outbid everyone and just, like, load up your team. And they're like, oh, well, now I have these other players that were okay. Well, you just trade those guys away. And that's what they're looking at with Andujar.
Did you ever do, I don't remember which baseball game it was, but about 10 years ago, I would stay up until 2, 3 in the morning playing seasons out just as a GM. I would automate the seasons. Sim the season.
Yeah.
And just, it was just being the GM.
Yeah, of course.
So that was so much fun.
Yeah.
Just to love it.
You can only do that now on, I think, MLB The Show. The RBI baseball on the Xbox is not bueno.
No, it's been a long time since I played. I used to go down, you know, total time sucks and lose a whole weekend to playing the baseball games. And that was about it. I used to do
when
baseball,
I finished my
golf.
First film, that was what I did. I went out and bought an Xbox and then literally just spent a month playing baseball video games. I was so burned out on the film. I didn't want to write. I didn't want to do anything. So for just a month while sort of like
you were in recovery
post production stuff was happening, I just played video games.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
And I wrote some scripts for, you know, for clients or whatever, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
So the Yankees also signed Adam Ottavino, which was somebody who was in the running for the Red Sox were interested in him. So the Yankees kind of snagged him away. And that means the Red Sox still have a void in the closer role, although Dombrowski says,
while the Yankees have
crew of people.
While the Yankees have... like 5 legitimate closers on their team. 4 legitimate closers. Britton.
Yeah.
What's his name? Betances. Now Ottavino. And Ottavino for $9 million a year, that seems a little low. Based on, you know, David Robertson getting $12 million a year or 11.5, it seems a little low. But apparently he was in New York. I read somewhere he was like, he grew up in New York or something like that. I was like, he's just going to sign with New York.
Hometown discount. Yeah.
Not really.
So the Yankees are in the headlines, too, with apparently a Sonny Gray deal is close.
Right.
A's and Padres seem to be the most mentioned names, which I don't quite get, but okay.
His numbers away from the stadium were very good. It was the numbers at the stadium that were just absolutely killing the team.
But I would think more teams would be interested. There's still a lot of holes out there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's – the thing is, like, it's such a weird market, though, right? Like – how much do you want to give up for Sonny Gray, hoping that he Like, the Yankees aren't just going to give him away.
No, no. But they also know that, I mean, I think the fact that there is a market for him says something about, you know, the deeper dive into the analytics.
Yeah.
And the other, you know, if it's just the optics of watching him pitch, you might be scratching your head a little bit. But, you know, from the A's point of view, it'd be like, can we, you know, recapture the Sonny Gray of old? Because he did fantastic with the A's. The Padres, I don't quite get that one.
The Padres were apparently in on Kluber.
They're all in with
Kluber.
Kluber.
That's French, French-Canadian.
Inspector Clouseau's understudy. Inspector Kluber.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what the Padres are doing. They have a ton of prospects, right? Like, they have the deepest farm system in baseball. But at a certain point, I think you need to start aggregating those guys.
Right. Let them come up. You know, give them a shot. See what
you
they
know,
can
grab
do.
A couple, trade them off to another team.
They've got 10 outfielders. So
many outfielders. And then just moved Will Myers back to the outfield, right?
Back to the outfield, which made no sense. But did they really move him back? Because Myers was the one who made that announcement. That was like last week, I think.
Oh, was
he's
that?
Like, yeah, I'm going back to the outfield.
And well, maybe so it was like, I'm terrible at third base. Like, look at the numbers. He should be at first base, but they for some reason they decided to throw $120 million or $100 million at Eric Hosmer.
Right.
Still can't figure that trade out or signing out.
Well, you know, they have that window where they're going to be great like 3 years down the road, and he'll be aging and declining by then. So I don't know. I still don't understand that. You know, but they had all those trades and signings 3 years ago as well, and that didn't make a whole lot of sense either.
It's a very schizophrenic team to me.
Yeah, Preller has not proven his worth yet. But he was the sexy sign. I mean, you know, he came from the Rangers, I believe, and everybody was like, this guy is going to be the new Theo. And not so much.
Yeah. With his multiple medical records and all that stuff, that weird shenanigans.
Right.
Got suspended. Anyway, he's got a great farm system. It's just a question of now what's he going to do with it.
Right. We'll see. So Cody Allen signed yesterday with the Angels. So that
nice landing spot for him, I think.
One-year deal.
He had a really down year last year. Like, his fastball slowed up a little bit, and the numbers all kind of got worse because of it. So, yeah, he was the closer extraordinaire for the Indians for no Jose Mesa, but for a number of years. And, you know, the Indians knew he was on his way out, so they replaced him with Brad Hand. And then Cody Allen went out there, and the Angels need a closer, right? So the Angels just, like, tack another $8 million onto that. You got yourself one of the best closers in baseball, Craig Kimbrell, who's still sitting out there without a team.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Though I hear the Phillies are kind of interested in him, but the Phillies are interested in
him.
The Yankees, right? The Yankees are already at $50 million just for the bullpen.
That's nuts.
$50
That tells
million
you how much the game has changed.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that gambit, right? Like, they did it last year. It didn't work. They did it the year before. It didn't work. Like, how much more certain can you be that you won the game that you're leading?
Right. Well, I guess the bigger thing is the uncertainty with they do have some, I don't want to say tender arms, but Paxton is not, he's shown signs of wear and tear.
Yeah.
Tanaka, same thing. CC Sabathia is, you know, one pitch away from being done. So, you know, I get why they're doing it, but it hasn't proven to be a successful formula
for them.
I just don't think it works in the postseason.
Right.
And that's ultimately what your end game is to get to the postseason. So, you need starting pitching. That's what wins. Starting pitching and defense is what wins World Series, I think.
And you can futz around with it. Like, I think the Brewers did a good job this last season of futzing around with that a little bit, like doing their starters only went 4 or 5 innings, and then they bring in that, you know, murderer's row of relievers. But eventually the relievers get tired and then lose games. So I know it was game 7 of the – you know, championship game, but still.
Yeah.
You're that
close.
Jeffers
got tired.
Yeah. Jeffers got tired, and then it was like, oh, maybe we should. No, we can't change the roles up. Can't change the roles up. We've set the roles.
Yeah. So the Dodgers reunited with Russell Martin.
Martin.
Martin, Russell Martin from the Blue Jays for a bag of balls.
Yeah, there's a couple of, I mean, you know, there's fringy prospects there that might, you know, turn into something. Nice numbers.
And are the Dodgers taking over the whole salary? Or did
No. Even with giving up fringy prospects, they still, like, that's an upside-down contract. That's like $20 million or something. Yeah. Like, I think they're only paying like four of it. Down.
Yeah, he fell off the table hard after, I think, the first two seasons with the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Russell Martin, who got, what, 5 years, 80-something million, compared to Yasmani Grandal, who got 1 year, $18 million? Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So two big record-breaking arbitration upgrades for Mookie Betts and Jacob deGrom.
Yeah. And Nolan Arenado looks like he's going to set a record too, which I guess Mookie Betts will then break next year. But yeah, Mookie Betts, this is the one area where players can look and like, oh, we're getting raises. The money is increasing is in this area, the later years, arbitration years, where teams can go in and like they are pretty restricted about what they can offer. And you have to keep Mookie Betts, right? So it's like, here's $20 million. Here's a $10 million raise.
And I like that, though. I like players getting paid at a value, not value to them, a plus side value to them earlier in their careers rather than this whole backwards. I mean, like Albert Pujols is making $20 million a year, and he is a shell of his former self.
Right.
$25 million a year. It's crazy.
Yeah, and this is, don't need this is an area where, you know, there are talks of now there might be a work stoppage, or, you know, they need to figure out something. Really, all they need to do is raise the minimum pay for people in the league. That's all they need to do. That that will kind of push everything up. It'll push arbitration up a little bit. But you're never going to get owners. And see, the thing is, the GMs are smarter now, right? And GMs know you don't have to sign a guy for, you don't have to sign Russell Martin for 5 years and $80 million. You can sign Yasmani Grandal for 1 year and 18, or Wilson Ramos for two and, you know, 20 or whatever. And they're, because they're getting smarter, the, there's going to be less money flying around. The Harpers will always get $30 million. That's fine. Kershaw, $30 million. That's fine. But it's that middle class that's really going to take the hit. And it's not from owners being cheap. I mean, it is from owners being cheap, but it's from owners not wanting to waste money. And now we all know where the waste is, and that's in players that underperform.
Right. Well, there was an interesting interview with, I don't know if it was an interview specifically with him, but David Sampson was in the news, who were like, why is he relevant and why is he even talking about baseball? But there was an article about Trout in, you know, 2 years down the road, what haul is he going to get? And Sampson had a relatively interesting concept in there, is that if I was a GM, I would go to the ownership group and say, it is not worth paying $30 million a year plus for Bryce Harper when we can pay Juan Soto $550,000.
Right.
So it's kind of like, if there are good enough players that are coming through the system at a younger age, we're going to start to see them sooner, I think.
Right. And I think that, because that's been the trend lately as well, is they stop letting these minor leaguers like grind it out and like prove themselves in the minor leagues. Like once I think they're moving players up through systems faster now, and they're bringing up guys at younger age. You're going to see more and more like 20-year-olds, 19, 21 guys, where it's like, man, this is his third year, and he's like, he's just 22?
Right.
Like, there's guys who just got drafted that are this age. You're going to see more and more of that, because there's value in it.
Yeah. I guess one of the things, the question that would be an interesting, you know, why is it that in other sports, baseball's the only sport where you have to be in a development stage for 2-3 years minimum, 5 to 7 sometimes maximum for some guys, even longer for few. When all these other sports is you play right out of school, right out of college, and in football, and now it's after your junior year, you're playing in the NFL.
Right.
You know, NBA stars are playing at 19 years old, starting 5. So baseball has this, you know, there's very few people that get drafted, and, you know, Bregman came pretty quick through the system and has turned into a superstar. On the flip side, you have Dansby Swanson, who was supposed to be the next big thing and has not yet, you know, materialized, but he was rushed, You know,
yeah.
I guess that's the, is it rushing? Is it just baseball needs a little bit more seasoning before you can, you know, play at the major league level? That's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But it would be fun to see people, you know, drafted out of high school and college start playing right away.
Yeah, it's only happened, I think, a couple times, right? Like in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see, like, again, they're going to shorten it, but they do need that runway. Like, you do let a, need a 19-year-old get the pitching is better level to level. You know what I mean? Like, and to send up a 19-year-old to the pros right away and just say, hey, we drafted you, start hitting Justin Verlander.
Right.
The odds are it's not going to work out. Though look at Juan Soto. Like, they just called him up from double A or single, like high A. He was supposed to be in double A. He was in double A for like a week. And they're like, yeah, just come on up. And then he turns, now he's an all-star. He's a top 20, top 30 fantasy baseball pick. He's, you know, runner-up to Rookie of the Year, but, you know, is to Acuna, which is, you know, again, another unicorn. But a lot more unicorns these days. That's all I'm saying. Got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming.
Tatis
Jr.
On his way. We've got also who are the other guys, the triumvirate in Toronto. So you got Guerrero, Biggio, and Bichette, right?
That's right.
It's all young guys,
yes.
Young studs. Yeah, I like that though, and I think a lot of that has to, fantasy baseball in somewhat an indirect way has helped put a lot of prospect in the limelight.
Yeah.
People didn't pay as much attention to prospects 10, 15, 20 years ago.
That's true.
The hardcore people did maybe, but not the casual fan. Now casual fans are talking about how deep their farm systems are.
Right. Yeah, they're talking about the top 20 players in the farm system as opposed to, well, maybe they're talking about the top 10 players as opposed to talking about like the random, you know, Trout and Harper.
Yeah, the top 10 in the baseball.
Yeah.
Overall, that was the ones that were getting the headlines.
Yeah.
So Kyler Murphy, last week I called him Kyle, Kylie.
You got the first name right.
I'm calling
him
Murphy. Kyler Murray, you know, after his deep love for the A's, signing a nice bonus contract, had decided that he'd throw his name into the ring. The A's sent a contingent to meet with him, three or four people, to try to convince him to stay with baseball, and he declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But still has a chance to play. He'd have to give up his $4.5 million if he decides to go the football route. But I think he'll be getting a lot more money via the football route near term.
Yes, so the first 5 years, the NFL would definitely be the payoff. And then if he sticks in the NFL, of course, good quarterbacks in the NFL, mediocre quarterbacks in the NFL can make over $20 million a year. So... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many years, will he be RG3 or will he be Tom Brady? Like, you know, there's no way to know. But yeah, so it's very much up in the air. We had thought it was all settled because he had signed a contract and taken money. Mm-hmm. But now it's like then there were talks about him being able to renegotiate with the A's, that the league allowing
them a
waiver.
Right, 40-man roster spot.
Yeah, which is against the rules, but they could... blah, 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 blah. But it's a weird thing because normally if you sign a player and he decides, no, I'm going to go back to college or go to the NFL, the team gets that draft pick back the next year. But this would be a player where they actually signed him, gave him money, and then if he decides to opt out, they're just kind of left holding the bag, right? Like, they don't get the draft pick back.
Yeah, they'll have the rights to him, and it'll be the equivalent of the Yankees having the rights to Russell Wilson, who shows up for camp for 3 days, and everybody has fun with him. That's
right, and everyone's like, he's going to be two sports star. Like, yeah, all right. Shouldn't he be good at one of the other sport as well? He's good at the quarterback, though. No disparagement to his quarterbacking skills.
What did Trevor Bauer do to get in trouble again?
Okay, so him and Alex Bregman have this sort of like Twitter rivalry going, you know, like obviously Alex Bregman he's a little bit of a, I don't want to say he's a red ass, but yeah, he's a
hot shot.
He's an intense guy, right? And Trevor Bauer is kind of a lightning rod for intense guys. He's very unconventional. He says stupid stuff. He is also conservative, which doesn't go over super well in this day and age. Anyway, so he was trash-talking. They were trash-talking each other on Twitter, and some fan of Alex Bregman chimed in, and Bauer decided to trash-talk that person who had trash-talked him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wow. So then Bauer...
He took
but then,
the bait.
Yeah, so then Bauer goes, and he and this college-aged girl go back and forth making snarky comments at each other, and it all seems fairly whatever, but then apparently it just kept going. People kept replying. Bauer kept replying to people that were replying, so then it was like he was replying to her, and then he was like pulling up old tweets of hers and making fun of her, and
wow,
it you know, there was like, oh, you should be professional, and there were like all these articles, these pearl clutching articles on some of the bigger sports sites, like, you know, this is just unacceptable behavior for someone to take go after a fan like this. And they're like, hey, first of all, this sort of behavior got a man elected president. So you tell me whether it's unacceptable. I'm just saying, if you're on Twitter and you start trolling someone, this is a land of wolves, okay?
Right.
You
right.
start trolling someone, you best
be
expect to get trolled. Right. Now, maybe right. you won't get trolled. But I will tell you, when I was writing for Yahoo and I got trolled all the time, people mm-hmm. were like, oh, this is crazy. I loved it. I'll troll right back. I had a guy talk crap to me for just a dozen tweets. And it turns out this guy also wrote a blog about how to get along with people and the importance of community and synergy and harmonic blah, blah, blah. So all I did with this dude was I just copy and pasted lines from his blog and replied them to him.
Right, that's great.
It took him three of them before he realized what I was doing, and then he did a well played, sir, and stepped away.
And stepped away. Yeah, my favorite was about 7 years ago. I wrote an article specifically talking about why the Marlins should trade Hanley Ramirez, and somebody went bananas saying, like, he is my favorite player. Why would they ever do something like that? They should build the franchise around him, like he's a clubhouse cancer. So we started going back and forth. And eventually, I think it was the next season when he got traded, I jumped back into that thread and said,
right.
I said, you know, what do you think now, type of thing? And he just blew up all over again.
Right.
And it's like, it's people like you that, you know, put stuff out there that gets management thinking. I'm like, really? I don't think I have any influence whatsoever on what upper management in the Marlins organization thinks.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's crazy that people get so unbelievably, you know, wound up by commentary. I've got to the point where I've disengaged from that. I find more pleasure in reading than
yeah, and participating. Apparently going to jazz clubs in Mexico, John.
Yeah.
Not to out you or anything,
yeah,
but
no, it's great stuff, man. If you're ever in San Miguel de Allende, you have to go to Mi Casa and see Gil Gutierrez's jazz musician group. It's phenomenal. Been three times.
And just to be clear, legal disclaimer, John's views do not represent the views of anyone else on this podcast. Two, when he is saying Mi Casa, he is not actually inviting you to his own home. It is a place called Mi Casa. Just be clear.
Correct.
I don't want some yes. wackadoo showing up at your house and being like, you invited me, John.
Yeah.
And you're like, look,
where's the jazz?
Stay, but you got to be a drug mule now with my team.
What are you bringing me? Funny. What do we got here? We talked about Myers moving to the outfield. Oh, Melvin's going back to BJ.
Yeah.
That's exciting news.
Look, it's not surprising at all. Everyone prefers BJ.
Ba-dum-bum. That was that the only reason why that was put in here?
Yeah. No, okay, this is one of the best jokes I've ever written. I remember when he signed with Atlanta and it was like $120 mm-hmm. million, and I think mm-hmm. the joke that I wrote was on the old site we were on, and it was, normally it costs a lot less than that to get a BJ in Atlanta.
That is good.
I remember it was going to be the Upton brothers. It was Justin Upton and BJ Upton, and we had all right. the Kate Upton stuff we were doing. And
mm-hmm.
Justin Upton's still hanging in there.
He is.
Not quite a Hall of Famer, but he still acquits himself very well on the baseball field.
So let's see what. Angels and Anaheim agreed to a 1 year. Or Anaheim agreed to a 1 year extension of their lease through 2020. Are they exploring new?
They're like stadium obviously they should stay in Anaheim. They are the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim after all.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't want to lose that moniker. But yeah, so there's talk. You know, they're trying to use the maybe we want to move to Portland, and maybe we want to. You know, have farm-to-table concession stands or whatever. Or like, the foam fingers are now hemp fingers, you know?
Right.
But yeah, they're San Antonio, Carolina, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure if they're looking to get renovations done or get a new stadium. There's a lot of land down there. It's pretty open area. But yeah, they extended the lease for one more year to...
Figure it out.
Can't imagine them leaving there, though.
So Tim Tebow, tough life he's got, is engaged to a former Miss Universe.
Yeah, Miss Universe. Like, classic Tim Tebow, right?
Right.
I'm not going to make a religious joke there, because I feel like there is one, but whatever. Neil deGrasse Tyson's like, actually, she's not Miss Universe, because the universe is goes on and for infinite. Blah, 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 blah. Never mind. Anyway, sorry. Yes, he had to Tebow her
The proposal.
Which we assume is the kneeling thing and now may mean something else to them privately.
Correct. You ready for some Tebowing?
Yeah. So he's got an invite to the Major League camp as well for the Mets.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's no longer the Sandy Alderson story that we're going to give this guy a shot. It's now Van Wagenen's responsibility to figure out what to do with him.
Yeah. I mean, those minor league ticket sales, can't argue.
Well, the Brody is pretty brash. Brody. Because he's,
hey, wait, is that his real name? We're not making
I
up a fake name for this guy.
I don't think so. It sounds cute when you're young, when you're 8 years old. Brody sounds good. But when you're, once you push past 30, I think Brody sounds a little weird.
I mean, it's got bro in it. It's.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But he said, he's accepting everybody to come at the Mets. We're going to go after everybody. They can come at us. Kind of like come on, bring it on. We're ready to rumble.
Yeah.
So he's definitely brought a whole different spirit to esprit de corps to the Mets for sure.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned by this Jed Lowry signing. I love the signing. He's completely undervalued player. But I'm sure, where is he going to play? They have these two first base prospects. They've got Robinson Cano. They've got Jeff McNeil. They have a shortstop already. They've got Todd Frazier. So now you're adding in another infielder.
And they said he's going to play all around the diamond.
Ugh, I hate that so much.
And if I'm the player, I would hate that too, because you never know.
Probably the best deal he could get, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys are desperate. I know the Frazier one, the one the Mets signed Frazier last year, that was the best deal he could get. And that was way overpaid. But see, that's why you're seeing teams not like, hey, let me dive in on Mike Moustakas. Because, like, look, maybe they'll sign Todd Frazier. And then, it'll just be a, garbage signing. And no offense to Todd Frazier. He's a solid player. But just I feel like he's basically replacement level. And why not just bring up a minor leaguer?
But he's really good at sleight of hand.
You know what, John? It's going to get him in trouble.
It will.
As it happened to Houdini.
It did. He could die. Let's move on to starting nine. That wraps up
let's
headlines. For the movie Glass, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie is out this weekend?
Yes, this Friday. Today.
Awesome.
Yesterday.
Awesome.
Day before yesterday. Last week. Whatever.
So you have player names for M. Night movie names.
That's right.
What does the M stand for?
Movie.
Do we know? Movie night. That's great. Movie night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Come on. He was born. They were like, this guy's going to make films.
There you go. That's great.
First of all, props to me. I spelled Shyamalan correctly without even looking it up.
Wow. That is really good.
Yeah. So I'm kind of a fan.
Everybody probably forgets the why.
I will say some of these films are really quite good, and some of them are a little underrated, I think, and some of them are really some of the worst movies ever made. especially considering budgets and all that stuff. So let's start off with a great movie. Didn't quite get the appeal that at the time, but it subsequently has been vaulted to great movie status. And I mean great movie, not just very good movie. Unbreakable. Let's go with that. Unbreakalib Ferguson. Unbreakalib Ferguson. Unbreakalib Ferguson. Next one, also very good. Holds up. Noah Seinsdergaard.
That was a good movie. Creepy.
Yeah. And this might be my favorite one. You know, it's not true. I'm a fan of the Big Four. Of the Big Four, I think they're all very good, and regardless of what other people think. Next one, Jonathan the Villarge.
Okay.
Villarge. The Village.
The Village.
Huh? The Villarge. Anyway. Next one, this is the one that I like more than most people, but yeah, anyway, here we go. Lady Gordon in the Water.
Now, I saw that and I was like,
the girl I was dating at the time did not like that movie. We went to a barbecue the next day and I spent the entire barbecue arguing with people about why it was a good movie. And you know how you know it's a good movie? If everyone thinks it's a bad movie and you have to spend 5 hours at a barbecue explaining why it's good. That's how you know it's a good movie. I might be wrong about this thesis.
I just didn't get the creature element in that. It just seemed weird to me.
Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and spend 5 hours explaining to you, John, why it's a good movie. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I changed no one's mind.
If I bait you, you probably will.
John, I changed no one's mind. That girl wound up dumping me so fast, though it was months later and for other reasons. Next one, The J-Happening.
I haven't seen that one.
The Happening? You see, now that's a movie you should stay away from. It's basically like Bird Box, but without the blindfolds.
Okay.
Anyway, but imagine having the stars of the film be Mark Wahlberg as a scientist.
Okay, that doesn't work.
Yeah, not since, what's her name? Tara Reid playing a scientist. Has there been a more ill-fitting person to play a scientist, a person with high intelligence and logical capacity, since Mark Wahlberg playing a scientist? I love Mark Wahlberg films when he stays in his lane. Have you seen Event Horizon? No. Deepwater Horizon. Two very different films, by the way. A lot of people die in both. So, but Deepwater Horizon, that is a solid film. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, he's best as the construction worker, blue collar, or a cop.
Boom. You got it. Next one. Who am I doing here? Oh, right. John the Lester Bender.
Okay. I didn't see that one either.
The Last Airbender. Everybody hates that movie.
It was a big budget too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big budget, and apparently it was Avatar the Last Airbender, but it couldn't call itself Avatar because of the movie Avatar, which they're working on eight sequels and
At the same time, I think. We're gonna have Avatar up the anus.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all going to get blue anyway. all right, so we're going to blow ourselves. We will have blue ourselves.
There's a Melvin Upton joke in there somewhere.
Anyway, next one is not very good. It's Raphael Devers. After Earth.
Oh, I
didn't. Raphael Devers.
I haven't seen that either.
And the best, save it for last, The Sixto Sanchez Sense. But I probably could have gone The Sixto Sanchez.
That movie, I saw it when I saw it in the theater the first time. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? I had a friend at the time who was like, oh, I figured it out in the first 30 minutes. I'm like, no, you did not.
Yeah, your friend's a liar.
So well done. So well done.
Here's the interesting thing about watching The Sixth Sense a second time. You basically spend the whole movie going, oh, he's a ghost.
Yep. Yeah, I went and saw it like the next week.
Yeah. Oh, he's a ghost. Yeah. Again. He's a ghost. Yeah. Like, Can you even, I think you have to watch it like three or four times just to get that little like earworm out of your head. Like, he's a ghost. Oh yeah, look, he's a ghost in this scene too. Oh, look, in this scene, he's a ghost.
Right, and it's just like there's these constant confirmations where you're like, I was basically misled the whole time, brilliantly misled the whole time.
Yes.
And
I allowed
like,
myself.
No, there was this
misled.
One scene when they were sitting at the table and there was an interaction, and you're like, absolutely, there was definitely he was talking to her, and then you see it and you're like, oh no, he wasn't. She wasn't paying attention to him.
The funny thing is so many of those things that seemed like interactions are like, well, there are interactions that are like that in real life.
Sure.
That's because people are dead on the inside.
Right. Like a whole new term to ghosting.
John, we might be dead right now doing this podcast. You ever think about that? I'm going to have to listen to this again. Maybe at the end of this, we're going to reveal to the audience, John is dead. He's a ghost, and he is here to help me solve baseball problems.
There we are. It all comes back to me being dead. So that
well,
was
I
that
mean,
was
Mexico,
the,
you know, dead. Somewhere.
You're dead to me, John. You're dead to me.
Muerte.
Muerte. So that was really good. So are you excited about Glass?
Not 100%. I'm a big fan of Unbreakable, but I couldn't get into the other one, Snap.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I heard it was really good, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you
some
see
of these
it?
Movies have been so bad lately. I don't know. I think what I want to do is wait until they're both available on at home, and I'll just watch them both at home. Yeah.
Yeah. So next up, Around the Horn. We've kind of postponed this a couple of times. So let's jump in for New Year's resolutions.
Yeah. And some of these are going to be free agents, and some of them are going to be organizational, and some of them are going to just be like some stupid stuff I think I've read of them. But all this off the top of my head. Here we go.
Ready?
Yeah.
Braves.
Right fielder. I think they're set pretty much everywhere. I don't think they're the team to beat in the NL East, but I think you need a right fielder, and then you got to get some of that pitching to develop, and then see where they're at in the middle of the season, acquire players, boom, make a run.
Mets.
You got to sort out that infield. That's too many infielders for one infield.
Phillies.
Sign Machado, sign Keuchel, sign Kimbrel, spend that stupid money you're talking about spending, and wow, Nationals, Phillies, Mets, Braves. That is a tough division.
That's a tough, yeah. Nationals.
I would say let Harper go. Turn the page.
Marlins.
You got to trade Real Muto, right? Like, he's not going to increase in value. Like, the other GMs know that players lose value over time. The only players that gain value from the start of the season till the middle of the season are relievers. Those are the only ones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, he doesn't want to be there.
True. Yeah, that's definitely true. Let's move over to the American League East. Red Sox.
You got to get some sort of bullpen. Look, I know they're like, they won the World Series and you can't complain and whatever, and you've already got $240 million payroll, but you can't go out there with Tyler Thornburg and, you know, Heath Hembry and what is this? Carson Smith with a minor league contract? Come on, guys.
Yankees.
You know, I would say that they're just kind of set. Of course, I'm also biased, right? Because I want them to lose. So what if I didn't want them to lose? They got to get more starting pitching. Mm-hmm. Though I think Paxton, Happ, Severino. I mean, Paxton Severino is a pretty solid 1-2. Mm-hmm. CC, I think this is the year he falls apart.
Right.
It's just gravity. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they have a good minor league system. They have good stuff to trade, so they can get something midseason if they need it.
Blue Jays.
Let the kids play, man. Time to start bringing them up. See who can do it. They've all done it up to Double A. So let's just bring up Guerrero, bring up Bichette, bring up Biggio. They got Nate Pearson throwing 100 miles an hour. Bring him up. See if he can get that cheese past the major leaguers.
Mm-hmm. Orioles.
They have a couple pieces still they could trade. Don't spend any more money. I heard Chris Davis changed his offseason workout routine and is working on his swing. And man, if they could get that guy up to at least a replacement level, that would be fantastic.
Rays.
Oof. Man, they got all these kids coming. What I would do if I were them is I think they need a little bit more starting pitching, but they have to wait till middle of the season because they can't just start throwing away. They have so many great young players coming, though. Like, it's ridiculous. And but at some multiple at the same positions. That's why you saw them trade Jake Bowers away, because they have so many first basemen coming. They're just like, fine.
Okay, NL Central Pirates.
I got to bring up Mitch Keller, right? See if he's got the stuff. He's been doing it in the minor leagues. Bring him up. See if he can do it. They have a solid team. The Central is another tough division. The only division in the National League that stinks is the West. But the Pirates, Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, even the Reds are going to be better.
Yeah. And they all have to play each other.
Yeah.
Cardinals.
I think Cardinals need one more closer. I wouldn't be surprised if they jumped in on Kimbrel, see if they can get him for like 13, 14 mil for a couple of years. Remember, they gave 10 to what's his name last year. That guy was coming off an injury or whatever. They had to give up a draft pick for him as well. I don't remember his name because he was so bad. I memory holed him. I blacked him out.
Cubs.
I think the Cubs have a great team, but they do need to figure out what they're doing with this alignment, right? Like they got to trade Schwarber. I know everyone loves him and he's such a great quote unquote pure hitter and all that, but you can't have him out there in left field. Get him in the American League. You can't have him running around in left field. Like, it just costs your team too many runs. It's just in this day and age where teams are optimizing every aspect of their, you just can't do that.
Brewers.
I like what the Brewers did this offseason. They, but they need to develop some starting pitching. Now they have, is it Blake Woodruff? No, that's an old friend of mine.
Woodruff, who looked dominant.
Just dominant. Yeah. Like, unleash that guy. Let him, even if it's just for five innings a game, unleash that guy. Peralta is solid. Freddie Peralta.
Yeah. And they'll get Nelson back.
That's right. And Jimmy Nelson should be back for the full season, right? Like, he was supposed to kind of be back at the end of last season, but had some other issues.
No, he should be ready.
Okay, good.
Reds.
Now, I don't understand 100% what the trades were they were doing with this Yasiel Puig 1 year, because he's only for 1 year, right? Kemp is for 1 year. I'm not 100% sure what they're doing there, but they got to bring up Nick Senzel. They got to find a place for him to play, because believe it or not, their outfield and infield positions are pretty full. Though I guess technically they need a center fielder. So do something, blah, 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 punch this, do that, call this person, get a center fielder.
Let's move on to the American League West, Astros.
Yeah, so Astros, here's the thing. I think Verlander and Cole are both free agents at the end of 19, right?
Not sure.
I think that's true. I know Cole is. Anyway, they need to get some more pitching depth for the they got it, because they had everything they need right for this year. They don't need anything else. Great bullpen, great starting pitching, great farm system, great lineup, too many prospects coming. But they do need a little more depth in the starting rotation going forward.
Angels.
Well, I would say get a closer, but they got a closer at a decent price, and he should be solid as their closer in Cody Allen. But why not just go sign Bryce Harper, you know? Just go crazy. Like, just get rid of Cole Calhoun. Just go get Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Just tell him you want him. Say, come to Anaheim. Go to Disneyland.
He's no Hamilton, but, you know, he'll do it.
They gave $25 million a year to Josh Hamilton.
Right.
Can you imagine?
How about the Athletics?
You know, I have no idea.
The Mariners?
I like this Yukuchi signing. They're looking like they're building not for this year, and not even necessarily for 20, but for like 21. I think what they're maybe hoping is that the Astros dip off a little bit.
Yeah.
The Red Sox dip off a little bit. They can kind of squeeze in there and make a nice solid run. But you have
look
to
look at the list of transactions. It's mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's you know, five times what anybody else has done.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, it's like a fantasy baseball.
It is. That's what it feels like.
DePoto's like a fantasy baseball league. It's just like, wait, now they did another trade. But you just traded for that guy.
Right. And I don't think he's done yet. There's
well, they still have Encarnacion.
They
don't need at all. So.
Right. Let's jump over to the NL West, the Padres.
Well, I would say it's time to start bundling players, right? Here, take these three, four, a veteran with, not a veteran, but a player with like 3 years of control that's very good, like a, I don't know, necessarily like a Trevor Bauer, but something like that. You know, go get, like, what's your, figure out what your timeline is. They're probably looking at a 2021 sort of like, this is going to be when we're good. And they have to start, they have too many outfielders and too many infielders coming and so much pitching, and you got to bring up all the pitching. And anyway, but you got to start bundling those fielders. Otherwise, they just get burned out and wasted.
Right. And I think a lot of teams are looking at it, like I would say the Padres, the White Sox, the Marlins to a certain extent are looking at the Astros model. Suck for 3 years, 4 years, and let it all kind of come to a head at the same time.
Right.
And yeah, we'll see if it works. It's
Astros,
it worked for them.
And Cubs, by the way.
Yeah.
That was their model. They both won World Series, so.
Yeah, so it's worked out okay. How about the Dodgers?
Harper? I mean, I'm not excited about their right field situation. So they have a maybe Pollock? I don't know. Pollock, if you put him in, part of his value is that he's a center fielder, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I like Harper. Like, why not go get a superstar? Though Friedman is has stayed away from signing big names.
Yeah, so the only way Harper goes there is for like 3 years and $40 million, right?
I have no idea, but I have to assume that whatever contract Harper gets, it's going to be one of those wackadoo like, and you can opt out after five. If you don't opt out after five, press one to continue on. If you want to opt out after six, you have to get the team's permission. Plus, you must wear a red hat and dance around in a tango. And then also the team can still decline that option. However, after year eight, it's going to be one of those. Guaranteed.
Giants.
Okay, so they have to realize that they're just not contending anymore. Their farm system stinks. And you can't even really rebuild their farm system with what they have because they just don't really have that much to trade. Mm-hmm. They're all big contracts with mediocre and under players. Like, it's really quite a rotten, decayed team.
How about the Rockies?
Get a catcher, man. I like this Real Muto idea. Go get him.
Yeah, that would vault them up there to.
Yeah, that'd be a scary team.
Yeah.
One of the things that's great about the Rockies when you're a fan of the other teams is they don't really seem like they know what they're doing. Like, oh, yeah, we'll sign Ian Desmond to a 5-year deal. Like, who were you even bidding against, first of all, that you gave him 5 years? Like, can you imagine Ian Desmond in this current free agent market? He'd get 1 year for $9 million.
Right. Right.
They signed him for $5.75 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. D-backs.
I say stay the course. I know I like what they're doing. I know I'm more of a Dodgers fan, but I like what they're doing. They don't think they had enough for 2019. Pollock left. They traded away Goldschmidt. They got value for Goldschmidt, though they didn't get like the big splashy.
The big haul. Yeah, but for
a year, but Carson Kelly, 5-6 years of Carson Kelly is going to be worth. Plus the other player they got, Luke Weaver, that guy had a great year 2 years ago and maybe can turn it around in the Arizona desert. I don't know.
Let's go over to the AL Central. Tigers?
Oh, the Tigers. I want to see what some of their I want to see Stewart. I want to see him hitting 40 bombs and getting on base at 380 clip for the Tigers. Let some of the younger guys play. They have some good prospects, some exciting prospects. They have Casey Mize, right? Don't they have Mize? He looks like he's a couple years away. Matt Manning looks really good. So you have the pieces starting to line up for a 2021 kind of look, and you just got to take your lumps.
Indians.
Now, they need another outfielder. There are outfielders out there to get, so maybe they're just waiting for the prices to come down, which they always do, right? I think at a certain point, like after mid-January, the prices all just come down, so get someone for a couple years, and hey, maybe go get Pollock. Maybe Pollock's the answer. Mm-hmm.
Twins.
They've done everything they can do.
Okay.
I think they have. I think they still need a closer. Wouldn't it be a trip if they went and got Kimbrel? Mm-hmm. And they're just like, open up the wallet and just like, look, we want Kimbrel, $15 million a year, 3 years, mm-hmm. 4 years. Come and close out our games. Because right now, I feel like they're going to lose a lot of close games with that bullpen.
White Sox.
Manny Machado.
Yeah. I think they're going to be a little bit more aggressive. I think that's where he's going to wind up.
And it's perfect for them because they, in their farm system, which has some really nice players, they just don't have a third baseman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the money will, if they increase their offer, and they probably will.
Yeah.
like you said, the 210 million 7 years would be right, perfect. It would be great. It would be a good fit. But, you know, he wants 300, so we'll see where that nets
out. But maybe you can fake it with some deferrals like they did with Scherzer. You know, it's like, oh, it's $30 million a year, but really it's like 27.
Right. Last but not least, the Royals.
I think they should trade for more players that can steal bases because Billy Hamilton, Whit Merrifield, and Mondesi are not enough.
They're going to swipe a lot of bases.
I want them to steal 1,000 bases.
Alex Gordon may have a comeback year. Maybe realize his worth.
When Alex Gordon is the best player on your team, no, he's not. He's the highest paid. That's the thing. He's the highest paid.
He got a thank you deal.
Yeah. Not sure I would have given him that thank you deal.
No. Okay, that wraps up Around the Horn. It's time to move on to extra innings and look outside the world of baseball.
Yes.
A few things going on here in the world of sports. NFL playoffs.
Very exciting.
The top divisional
games were not that great, in my opinion.
No.
But the AFC Championship and NFC Championship are always great sport.
Yeah. These, and they're the four best teams left in, you know, all season long, four best teams. So it should be, I expect both games to be shootouts.
Yes, it does seem like
that. It could be 50 points scored by one team in both games.
Yes.
Which would be fun.
Yeah, what's the over-under on all the games? Like 200 points?
It's got to be 200 points. That would, well, that might be a little high.
It might be a little high, but you know what, John? I might be a little high.
But I'm excited. I'm assuming you're rooting for the Patriots.
I am for the, 30th year in a row. Rooting for them. It's been a nice run. I suspect it will end this weekend.
Gonna be a shootout.
You know, it'll bump till next season. That Chiefs team is a good team. That's a good team. It's a better team than the Patriots, in my opinion.
This next headline.
Yeah.
Moving away from sports to the Hollywood world. I don't know anything about. I know about the movie Bird Box.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. I heard that Netflix pumped it up and made it sound like it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's not that. It's nothing. It's okay, right? Like it's basically like The Happening, but with blindfolds, or like The Quiet Place, but not quite good enough to be released in a theater. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, look, I'm sure Netflix paid a lot of money for that movie, but if that movie thought it was going to make a ton of money, it would have gone to theaters.
Right, like, but why did they say that it had, like, 8 million views in the first 2 days or something?
Yeah,
like
no,
that.
And it's great.
So what was this big? What was this big controversy, though?
So there's a couple controversies. One is that people are doing the Bird Box challenge where they're doing things blindfolded, including one car accident victim who put on a blindfold. Yeah, and was driving around blindfolded and got in a car accident. Surprise!
Right.
Spoiler alert.
That's scary.
But then there's this other thing where they're saying that they won't. There's footage of an actual deadly train crash in the film. They use it as like a clip for something to show like how the world is being turned upside down by these alien creatures or whatever. And some people are offended that they used an actual clip of a real crash in the film. And they want to take it out. Of course, it's Canadians, right? So it's like they're really upset, but also they're apologetic about it. Like, I'm sorry to ask. Will you please take out that clip that is offensive to us? Sorry to bother you. Yeah.
Pretty please, eh?
Yeah.
So here's another one. I have absolutely no idea what this even means.
That's what I'm here for, John.
A Cardi B and a City Girls. I don't know.
Okay,
what
so
that
City
is.
Girls released a new song featuring Cardi B, right?
Uh-huh.
Cardi
who
B,
are the City
who you
Girls?
May remember from Foul Territory podcast where we talked
yeah,
about.
I do remember. I know the name.
Okay,
I
good.
Do.
She, I don't know she, who she recently is. Broke up with Offset last year, had an incident where she was involved in throwing shoes at the Met, I believe the Met Gala.
Oh.
But anyway, they have released a video for the song called Twerk, where many women, scantily clad, spend the entire time twerking. I'm going to tell you right now, John, it's exhausting.
You get a workout watching it?
It is. You look, twerking is one of those weird cultural phenomenons where it's like, oh yeah, that's kind of, you know, kind of sexy and kind of this is like smoking, you know, your parents make you smoke a pack of cigarettes or make you smoke a whole carton of cigarettes at once to get you to stop smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. It is so much twerking that it will make you no longer, when you see someone twerking, you'll just be like, oh God, great. Oh, that carton of cigarettes. Ugh. It's too much twerking, John. We wondered, many have wondered, is there such thing as too much twerking? We have now answered the question. Yes, there is such thing as too much twerking.
So probably one of the bigger headlines of the year so far, Jeff Bezos announcing his divorce just before the headlines in, was it the Inquirer or something? Their investigative team was...
Yes.
On the beat for that, and they were going to blow it all up. So he released a statement the day before that expose was to be released,
right?
Explaining that he and his wife are going their separate ways, but they care about each other and blah, blah, blah. But apparently he was having an affair.
Yes. A little side piece going. Guy was worth 100 and whatever, 40 billion. Now worth 70 billion. Still right. Good.
No prenup, though.
Well, yeah, because so she was there from the beginning. They've been together for 25 years.
So last but not least, Chris Pratt. I didn't know anything about this either, so you're going to have to fill in the blanks. Is this Katherine Schwarzenegger as a, like, in connected to Arnold?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Really?
No, it's the daughter of Dave Schwarzenegger.
I didn't know. Is that a common name in
my understanding
Hollywood?
Is that that is not a common name in the United States.
Okay.
You know, Catherine is the daughter of Arnold. So you have action star Chris Pratt hooking
action
up with
star daughter.
Daughter, action. You got to figure their offspring are going to be in like Predator 10 or whatever, right?
Right. With dad.
With dad,
and
right?
Grandpa.
Just a CGI dad, though. I'm not sure. Because if they had a kid and had to get to be about 20, 22, no, Arnold will still be around.
Yeah, he'll be kicking.
And him, you know, he still have
taunting Trump,
plastic surgeons pulling that skin back every few years.
So, Katherine Schwarzenegger, she's not in acting. I don't know anything about her. Didn't even know she existed until I read this morning.
I'm gonna be honest with you, I was not aware. I mean, I know that Arnold has that illegitimate child. This shows you how terrible a person I am. I know he has the illegitimate child with the housekeeper.
Right.
But which I think is Miguel Schwarzenegger. but I did not know about Catherine. So, but maybe that speaks to his virtue as a celebrity, that he kept his child out of the limelight.
Yeah, maybe that's good.
Or he felt that it did not serve a purpose for him in his celebrity.
What's coming up next?
Will Jed even bother to come up with something for this segment? Find out on the next episode of Clever Show Title Goes Here.